Frank headed out of town with no plan to look for a place to stay. He had already found one owned by the marshal and paid several months' rent on the place. No, he wanted to check out the country on his own, and he wanted to see if anyone followed him. As he rode, Frank smiled, thinking about the fight. Conrad was sure as hell no sissy boy. He was a pretty good puncher and wasn't afraid to wade right in and mix it up. Now, if the boy would just get rid of that damn silly hat. Frank rode for several hours, noticing no signs of a tail. The Pine and Van Bergen gangs either did not yet know he was in the area or didn't care. Probably they didn't know. But they would, he was certain of that. Both Ned and Vic wanted him dead. Frank headed back to town, arriving at mid-afternoon. The weather was turning sour, the skies thick with low gray clouds, promising a blanket of snow before morning. Jeff was in the loft of the livery, rolled up in his blankets. Wolf was snuggled up next to him in the hay.
They have us a place to live, Jeff. Let's get moved in. Rattle your hocks.
I feel really terrible. I think I'm coming down with something.
You probably are. Move!
The two-bedroom house Frank rented was well-built and furnished with a small barn out back. Frank sent Jeff to the general store to buy bedding and a few pots and pans, a coffee pot, and a few basic supplies. Frank built a fire in the Franklin stove and in the stove in the kitchen, then primed the kitchen pump and got it working. Wolf carefully inspected each room in the house. After circling the spot a dozen times, he apparently found himself a place to bed down in the small living room.
We'll spend the winter here, boy, I hope.
I broke your boy's nose and gave him a fat lip.
Frank looked at Jeff's face. It was bruised, and Jeff was sporting a shiner.
You both got marked. Did you see Colleen in town?
Yes, she found a job working for the local paper.
As a reporter?
Sort of. She's quite thrilled about it. We're going to a social tomorrow evening.
Oh?
Yes. Conrad apparently wants no more to do with her. I'm told he's sworn off women forever.
Yeah, that'll last for at least a day or two. Are you feeling better?
Yes, much better. I just have a small head cold, but I'm very tired for some reason.
Eat a good supper, then go to bed. I'll fix us some bacon and eggs.
That sounds wonderful.
Long after Jeff went to bed and was sleeping soundly, Frank sat in the small living room, the lamp turned down low, drinking coffee, wondering what his next move should be. The fire of revenge that had raged in his belly for weeks after he found his cabin destroyed and Wolf shot was a smoldering ember. What the hell would be the point of long, exhausting weeks on the trail, through the bitter cold and blowing snow, to gun down a pack of worthless men the law would catch and hang sooner or later? No point at all.
Oh, hell with it. Durango is as good a place as any to hold up for the winter. I sure don't have to worry about money.
Wolf padded over to him and Frank petted the animal.
Maybe we can stay put here for a few months, boy. Would you like that? It's settled then. We'll stay here for a while.
During the next several weeks, Jeff staked out a claim and actually began to look like a man who spent more time outside than in an office. Paulette Tremaine's soiled doves went back to work, doing what they did best, freelancing in the town's many saloons. Paulette and Martha founded the Durango Christian Temperance and Women's Rights League and proceeded to make a nuisance of themselves.
Strong women against strong spirits!
Jeff and Colleen saw each other on a regular basis.
Oh.
Love appeared to be in full bloom. Frank figured they'd get hitched up come spring. Conrad kept pretty much to himself. When he and Frank saw each other, the young man chose not to acknowledge his presence. Frank didn't push the issue. Christmas and New Year's came and went. The weather turned lousy, with lots of snow and bitterly cold temperatures. Frank kept busy chopping wood and hauling it back to town with a wagon and team rented from the livery. Wolf stayed inside mostly and put on weight. February drifted into March, and the weather began to moderate.
We hit the trail come spring, boy. You're gonna lose some of that fat.
Wolf wagged his tail and looked at his empty food bowl.
Later, you're getting fat. Why don't you go catch a rabbit?
Wolf looked at him as though he had lost his mind and wandered back to his bed for a nap. Frank got up to pour himself a cup of coffee.
Huh. Too quiet for the past couple of months. Something real bad is fixing to happen. I can feel it. Hope I'm wrong. I don't think I am.
Frank opened the front door and looked into the worried face of Marshal Dixon. He waved him inside.
I was just thinking it was too damn quiet and something was due to happen. I reckon it has.
It has, Frank. Conrad Browning's been kidnapped. Conrad stepped out for lunch and never returned. The two bodyguards with him were found in a shed behind the cafe, their throats cut. The other two bodyguards disappeared without a trace. A blood-stained note was found, stuck to the chest of one of the dead bodyguards with a knife. The note demanded $1 million for Conrad's safe return. If the money was not paid, the young man would die.
Frank stared for a moment in disbelief at the marshal.
$1 million?
That's what the note said.
Can't even imagine $1 million.
I can't either. When it gets past a couple of thousand, my brain gets boggled.
Who signed the note?
Dixon handed the bloodstained note to Frank. It was unsigned.
This is it?
That's it. Now you know as much as I do.
No instructions?
None.
Frank handed the note back to the marshal.
The two missing bodyguards?
Well, for sure, they had something to do with it. But there were at least half a dozen boot prints back at the cafe and bloody boot heels in the shed.
Pine and Van Bergen.
That's my thinking.
You know their hideout, Marshal?
No. I honest to God do not. I've talked with other lawmen who say it changes from time to time. From the canyon country badlands west of here to the mountains north of here. Take your pick.
Have you ever chased them?
They've never committed a crime in this town. At least not to my knowledge. And I don't know a damn thing about the Badlands.
Do me a favor?
Sure, name it.
Find Jeff and tell him to look after Wolf. I'm gonna gear up and try to pick up the trail.
If he can't look after him, I promise you I will. I'll take good care of him. You have my word. I like that mutt.
Frank packed quickly but carefully and saddled up, then rigged the pack saddle on his pack horse. Then he filled up Wolf's water bowl and food dish.
Now you be good and mind people, you hear me?
Wolf looked up from his food dish and wagged his tail, then resumed his dining. Frank rode into town and provisioned up. While the shopkeeper was filling his order, Frank checked the tracks in back of the cafe and found a couple of distinctive horseshoe prints. One shoe had a peculiar marking, and one of the horses put down his right front hoof in an odd way.
Now I can follow you to hell, boys.
He was back in the saddle in half an hour following the tracks. They led straight north.
Better than heading down into Ute country.
Though there was not much fight left in the Utes now. There was still snow on the ground in many places. The snow made tracking a lot easier. The kidnappers were following an old Indian trail Frank felt sure was originally a game trail. The stage road was a few miles to Frank's east, but those few miles were over some rugged and inhospitable terrain. The day was bright with sunshine, and the temperature, Frank thought, was probably in the mid-40 range. The snow was melting quickly in the lower elevations. The nights were still well below freezing, usually in the mid-20s. The kidnappers had several hours' jump on Frank. He was pretty sure the outlaws hid fresh horses along the way. There was no way he could catch up to them without killing his horses, something he would not do. A half day's hard ride north of Durango, the trail abruptly turned west. Frank rested his horses while he inspected the trail side on foot. After casting around for several minutes, he discovered half of the outlaws continued on north, the other half west.
Damn.
He had no way of knowing which group held his son captive. Either way was rough country, but north was slightly worse and colder.
West, and I hope I'm right.